Welcome to Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show Adley with you as the Blue Jays get their 8-game win streak snapped by Brandon Hyde's Orioles. Blue Jays losing 6-3 tonight against the O's at Camden Yard in a very eventful game. Hyde, of course, playing a huge part in this one, barking at Robbie Ray early on, and boy, the mics grabbing every piece of profane language in that one. Fernando Abad looking like Dion Phaneuf laying down a blindside hit on Lourdes Gurriel Jr. at times. Robbie Ray was only able to go 4 1/3. He allowed 3 earned runs, 8 hits, and 2 walks over those 4 1/3 frames. He also struck out 8. Adam Simber would throw 1 2/3, allowing no hits in that time. And Julian Merriweather making his first appearance since April 13th. We could go a lot of different ways to start off right here, but let's kick things off by talking about Merriweather. Cedric Mullins reached on a fielding error. This is the sequence of events here for Merriweather. He would get Ryan Mountcastle to ground out for the first out. A wild pitch got Mullins to third. Trey Mancini would walk after a relatively decent at-bat, a decent battle for Mancini. And then, of course, the home run you heard from Anthony Santander. I'll say this. I don't think it was the wrong move from Charlie Montoyo. I'll criticize Charlie if I think the wrong bullpen button was pushed, and we've talked about that at length before. But no, in this particular situation, it was, in my opinion, it was a good move to go to Merriweather, one that just didn't work out, right? It doesn't always work for pitchers for whatever reason. Just look at Robbie Ray, right? Like, do we all think all of a sudden that, oh no, we suck again, Waterboil style, because Ray couldn't get it done? Like, no, I don't think you don't really. And sure, Merriweather hadn't pitched since April 13th, but I mean, you know, there weren't exactly a ton of options there outside of maybe, what, bringing in Soria back for a second straight stint, or maybe Trevor Richards at that point. But I'm not going to nitpick on Merriweather. Don't forget, you can text us as well, 590-590. Leave your name and location. We'll give you a shout out on the air. I want to get to this one right away. And Josh will join me right after the break. I want to get to this one right away. I see one from Steve in Mississauga. I like this one. Made me chuckle. I know you don't know anything about the sport of horse racing, but the Julian Merriweather experience, first of all, that's true. Steve is absolutely correct. I don't know much about horse racing. But he says, the Julian Merriweather experience situation is very comparable to a champion thoroughbred. A horse is typically not at his peak in terms of stamina or performance the first time off the bench. Likewise, his fastball was only at 97 miles an hour. When it hit 100 miles an hour, he is good to go and back to normal. One or two more outings and he will be firing on all cylinders, hence the desperate need to use him as quickly and as often as possible. And I'm sure that definitely applies to different pitchers as well. Maybe you can have the same conversation about Nate Pearson's first outing, because, you know, we saw what that was, and it was not good when he got called back up. And then, of course, he got all 3 batters swinging strikes against the Oakland Athletics. And then, of course, the last time out, a little bit of a roller coaster, right? We're on the downswing of the roller coaster. He allows 2 home runs. So, again, maybe this is just a continual thing as you get these pitchers back up to speed. But Julian Merriweather, again, I'm not going to nitpick with the decision to go to Merriweather. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I don't think that that's necessarily on Charlie Montoyo. And I mentioned Robbie Ray, of course. And again, sometimes you don't have it, right? I mean, we talked about that. He hadn't allowed 3 runs in a start since July 21st versus Boston, which I guess would have been at Salem Field in Buffalo when he allowed 4 earned runs. Every start then, he had allowed 2, 1, or 0 runs allowed, right? I mean, hell, the man had only allowed 2 homers in his past 8 outings, which covered, and get this, 53 1/3 innings pitched. All right, 53 1/3 innings pitched. But that's wild stuff. So sometimes a bit of a letdown on that one, right? And when it comes to the leader of the Cy Young race, some people were tweeting at me during the game, oh, well, F in the chat for Robbie Ray's Cy Young chances, right? You know, pay your condolences to his chances in the AL Cy Young race. Look, I know we crapped on Gerrit Cole after leaving his outing against the Jays a couple games ago thanks to injury, but all this does, in my view, is bring things back maybe a little more even, right? Like, maybe Ray is 1A to Cole's 1B, and depending on the team you cheer for, that might be flipped at this point. It'll be a close race for sure, because as we talked before, if third and fourth place would perhaps go to Carlos Rodon and or Lance Lynn, if you want to flip those, that's up to you. I think it's a relatively distant competition, right? It's going to be a 2-horse race between Gerrit Cole and Robbie Ray, probably for the rest of the season. And of course, we got to monitor what goes on with the Yankees, specifically for Gerrit Cole. But a pretty eventful game from the bottom-feeding Orioles, right? Brandon Hyde yelling profanity at Ray from the dugout. I'm sure we'll hear about that again shortly, little later on in the program. Fernando Abad with the body check on Gurriel. And with Hyde, you know, we don't know what got him so hot. Ben was speculating maybe Ray saw something that may have indicated he was tipping pitches, or Kirk was tipping pitches, or signs being deciphered somewhat. and he stopped to investigate. But I do agree with many of you. I saw this a lot on the text line, and I saw this a lot on social media as well, in the moment, that as soon as profanity was involved and your ace is getting chirped by the manager on the other side, in my opinion, Charlie Montoyo needs to get his butt out there, right? I'm not saying he needs to, like, have a fight with Brandon Hyde or anything, but come on, I think, in my opinion, you need to be out there fighting for your guy. Even if you believe Ray can, and I think he relatively did handle it himself, that kind of thing is important for everyone on the team, right? And I will say on Charlie Montoyo, I think keeping the clubhouse grounded is something we don't often credit him with, you know, like, especially in a season that has seen the team go from TD Ballpark in Dunedin to Salem Field in Buffalo, and now back to Rogers Center in Toronto, and keeping the spirits of the team relatively high and enabling the kind of fun, which I think in turn enables the smooth play more often than not that we see. You know, that's on Charlie Montoyo. And sure, we can crush the guy sometimes for bad bullpen decisions or pinch hitting decisions or pinch running decisions or defensive decisions or what have you, right? And absolutely we have and probably will continue to do that. But I would hesitate to hang this specific loss on Montoyo, just like maybe we didn't give the guy enough credit during the 8-game win streak, which obviously included sweeps over Oakland and New York, right? You guys all heard me lament him bringing in Soria at times, and that worked out, right? One of a few examples, certainly. Either way, you are listening to JSOC, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Again, you can always text us at 590-590. Leave your name and location so we can give you a nice shout-out on the air and, of course, on the podcast as well. After the break, we'll get to all of your texts with my pal Josh Goldberg, co-host of this fine program. Josh getting some much-deserved time off on a Friday night, but because he loves both me and the Blue Jays, he has graciously agreed to join me tonight regardless. So, Josh Goldberg and your texts are next on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. You're listening to Jays Talk, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show Ali with you. Usually I do that in reverse order, but hey, it's a Friday night. Feeling a little wild, especially after the Blue Jays lose 6-3 to the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards. It's funny, the announced attendance, and you heard it, Ben, talking about it in the postgame number, the announced attendance, according to MLB.com, is 11,751 people. I don't believe you. That's not true. That is untrue. There's no way, looking at the amount of people at Camden Yards tonight, that there were 11,751 people in the ballpark. But let's bring in my pal Josh Goldberg. Josh, do you agree? Were there 11,000 people at Camden Yards tonight?
That seems aggressive, for sure. Maybe it was 10,000. It was more than I expected, because I feel like they've been drawing 4,000 or 5,000 of late. So I guess Friday night factored into it. But yeah, it's a sad state of affairs for that ball club. But they've won 5 games against the Blue Jays this year. Just goes to show. They've won 5 of 13 games against the Blue Jays, which is, I believe, better than their season winning percentage. I would have to pull out the calculator, but I'm pretty sure it's better than their season-long winning percentage. So they've had some success this year against the Blue Jays, to the chagrin of Blue Jays fans everywhere.
Yeah, look, don't hop off the bandwagon, right? Don't hop off the bandwagon just yet. I think if you were here for all of the crazy losses to the Tigers and Nationals and previous losses to the Orioles, certainly, and the Red Sox, and all the various shenanigans that happened in Dunedin and Buffalo. Like, I agree, the intensity wasn't in this one here necessarily. Robbie Ray, we can talk about him, Josh. He didn't go very long. It wasn't a good game. Like, you and I were texting during the game, and it wasn't a relatively positive chat, because, you know, there weren't a lot of positive things to talk about on this one. But at the same time, I would just caution people to not to get, you know, as high as the highs can be, and this is why we all sign up to watch sports, the lows can be pretty low, but I don't think this is anything to be too concerned about. And probably the blow is cushioned a little bit by the fact that on the out-of-town scoreboard, other teams took care of business as well, right? Like in the Subway Series, the Mets just absolutely tanking the Yankees. So more poor baseball continuing to be played, I was going to say in New York, but specifically by the Yankees. And so, you know, I guess the wild card wise, things haven't really gotten too out of hand, especially after losing the 1-4 to the Baltimore Orioles at Camden.
Yeah, well, sports fandom just is inherently either a glass half full or glass half empty proposition. And like you said, you can be glass half full despite losing with your ace on the mound against the Orioles. You're getting some help in the standings, so you're probably not looking at losing any ground, really. So that's the glass half full, but the glass half empty is part of that sentence. You lost the game to a really bad team, even though they've been playing better baseball of late, with your best pitcher on the mound. And hey, Robbie Ray wasn't great tonight. Was he tipping? Was there stealing going on? Hard to say. He did say postgame that they don't swing at his slider, which is curious because everyone else swings a lot at his slider. So I wonder what's going on there. But like, you weren't gonna win every game the rest of the season. That's not breaking news or anything. I did say that I thought you had to win 3 of 4 minimum here, and sweeping 4-game series is hard just because you did it. It was hard to envision that. But now you got to look at winning the next 3 ball games. And, you know, even taking 2 out of 3, like, it's not a catastrophe, I don't think. Like, it's not great. It's very pretty disappointing if you only split. But if you only win 1, I think that's really where you get into catastrophe. But, like, they had their opportunities tonight. It wasn't as if this was a laugher and they were non-competitive. They struggled mightily with runners in scoring position and left a bunch of guys on base. They were, let me get the numbers here. They were 2 for 10 with runners in scoring position. They left 13 on base. They had the bases loaded in back-to-back innings. They had a couple of innings with 2 on, and they weren't able to do damage like they've done over the course of the last week plus. So that's really the bigger story than, you know, why Julian Merriweather was used in that spot or anything like that. The offense just kind of blinked for the first time in a week, and it ended up, I think, really costing them a ball game.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but like we talked about, you and I had this conversation last night about the idea that the variance that occurs in baseball is so huge that it probably overshadows the variance that occurs in virtually all other major North American sports that we all watch and know and love, right? So, hey, I don't think this necessarily is the end of the world. Again, I think you have the right to be disappointed. I'm disappointed. I know Josh is as well, but I don't think it's necessarily going to impact too many things going forward beyond just not being able to say tomorrow, hey, the Blue Jays have won 10 in a row, or the Blue Jays have won 11 in a row, or what have you, right? A new win streak, you would hope, starts tomorrow with the doubleheader. Again, that starts at 4:30 p.m. 4:35 is the first pitch on the Eastern time zone, 1:35 on the West Coast. Okay, let's get to the text line, 590-590, name and location. Let's talk a little bit about Julian Merriweather, Josh, because I talked about it a little bit in the first segment of Jay's Talk and how I don't necessarily believe that it was a bad idea to go to Julian Merriweather in that particular spot, right? I mean, the game was tied. Was it a high leverage spot? Absolutely. Yes, he gave up the home run to Anthony Santander that proved to be the game winner. But at the same time, I mean, he has to get time at some point. And if you believe he is as good as he is, then, you know, you kind of have to give him some time here. I mean, I see one here. A lot of people texting in to reference the person, the texter from yesterday, whose name I forget, but I see Nick in Niagara and Kurt in Ottawa both texting in to ask about that other guy texted in about saying, you know, Julian Merriweather, would every GM in baseball would take Julian Merriweather over Jordan Romano. Look, I still think Julian Merriweather is going to be very, very good, but it's just he's going to need time to be worked back up. Like, it's just not realistic to expect him to always come in and dominate. And unfortunately, it ended up being on the glass half empty type of ball game for Julian Merriweather tonight.
Well, the thing is, you can't just use the same 4 relief pitchers every single game. And like, I saw a stat from Sportsnet Stats, since August 1st, Mesa, Simber, Richards, and Romano have a 2.32 ERA and an 0.88 WHIP with 2 blown saves. Everyone else is 6 ERA, a 1.4 WHIP, 3 blown saves. So those are your core 4 that have really been carrying the mail in a big sense for over a month here. But yeah, like, there's been a lot of tight ball games where those guys have had to be used lately. And the 3-3 ball game, like, you already used Simber for 5 outs. On 15 pitches, he was excellent. Like, you could have used Trevor Richards. You got a doubleheader tomorrow, though. You want him available tomorrow, and who knows if you use him, is he going to be available? Like, you have to use other guys at some point in time. And Julian Merriweather has swing and miss. And yeah, like, a perfect world, low leverage, all this, all that. Like, if you are confident in the arm, then you're putting him in there because he's proven that he's been able to get outs and leverage this season. So I got no beefs with it, because you just, you're not really looking at it as something where you can just say, well, we can just go to these guys every single day and they'll bail us out and they'll continue to do the job. They have, but you got to find some time to give those guys a blow here and there. You can't be using them, you know, three times in four nights or four times in five nights or something like that, and then think that that's going to work out well consistently and that they're going to be able to hold up withstanding that level of workload. So for that reason, and because, you know, you got to see what Merriweather can do and see if he's back to where he was back in April, I really don't have that much of an issue with it.
I had said, I don't know if you heard this text, but the Stephen Mississauga comparing it to horse racing. He had compared it to a thoroughbred not being as fast as the first time off the bench. And, you know, you need a couple outings to work him back up. So, hey, I mean, if that's what ends up happening for Julian Merriweather, and hopefully in the future he can be worked back up in maybe lower leverage situations. But, hey, if you think he's going to be better sooner, then he might be, you might be seeing more of Julian Merriweather, not necessarily tomorrow. I mean, there's still, you know, two more games. Ross Stripling got up and then sat back down pretty early on in this ball game. We can see him walking around and throwing some pitches relatively hard on the home bullpen camera here at Baseball Control. So, you know, I'm sure he'll factor into things as well. So I'm sure we will see a bunch of newer faces, guys who haven't pitched in a little while. Thomas Hatch probably figures to factor into this rotation, or at the very least for tomorrow. I don't know if he'll be used necessarily as an opener or over the course of the doubleheader, or how it'll necessarily play out. But look to see Hatch and Stripling and probably Merriweather at some point, maybe towards the end of the day tomorrow, or maybe fourth game of the series on Sunday. But let's get back to the text line, Josh. Again, 590-590, name and location. I see a lot of people asking, you know, I see Rob from Belleville. I see Pete in Ottawa all texting in about the Charlie Montoyo not coming onto the field, where Brandon Hyde was heckling Ray. And then again, when Fernando Abad, you know, Dion Phaneuf, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. on the run from third to home. Yeah. I still am not 100% sure if I think the Abad thing was intentional. I kind of think it was like he kind of got away with something there, it felt like. But at the same time, that Montoyo didn't come out of the dugout on either occasion, I can see why that would rub people the wrong way. I personally, you know, I always care about the manager needs to throw some theatrics for the benefit of fans or for the benefit of the team, because the team at this point knows who Charlie Montoyo is and what he's all about. So would that necessarily have changed things? Maybe not. But at the same time, I would have still liked to see Charlie come out of the dugout and, I don't know if defend is the right word, but at least like get out there and say something, whether it's to the umpires or to Hyde himself, because it just seemed kind of weird that, like, especially in this one, you could hear on the radio every word that Brandon Hyde was saying, lots of profanity. I was frankly shocked that when the cameras panned around here in Baseball Control, you couldn't see Montoyo really doing anything.
Yeah, gotta have your guys back in that situation and just show that fire in the belly. And that's not consistently been really in any way, shape or form been his calling card or his MO, like, especially in when Hyde is big timing your pitcher like that. And I saw a quote from Hyde. He basically admitted that he was embarrassed by it and it shouldn't have happened. But in the moment, you got to step out there and get in between that and de-escalate the situation. And then ask for some clarification on what happened with Lourdes and why wasn't Abad, you know, was there anything there? Like, is he getting tossed out of the game? Was it deliberate? Just something there, a little bit of more emotion or just a sense that you're going to try and attack the moment. And that didn't happen. And I think it's fair in this instance to be a little let down by that.
You know what? Before we hit the break, Josh, why don't we hear from Robbie Ray? I know the audio is ready. Tom has it on standby. And I'm very curious as to what Robbie Ray had to say. So why don't we hear what the ace of the team, after only going 4 1/3, let's hear what Robbie Ray had to say to the media.
You know, I felt really good coming into this game. I felt like the ball was coming out really well. They just battled. I feel like they've kind of battled me every time I've pitched here. I don't know. I felt like my last game in Toronto, I pitched pretty well against them. Maybe it's something that I'm doing. I don't know. I have to look into it.
Yeah. Is there something that you can tell the way that they've been able to battle you so well this season?
They don't very rarely swing at my slider, which is pretty curious.
Robbie, that was a pretty unusual exchange between you and Brandon Hyde there. And seemed pretty aggressive on his part. I'm wondering what was your sense of what was driving that and how you reacted to it?
You know, I'm not going to waste my time with someone that doesn't get in the box. So, you know, I don't have the time of day.
It looked like you had to step off a couple times. Would that throw your rhythm off a little bit? Were you trying to collect yourself and kind of gather your emotions in that spot?
No, I think I did a pretty good job of, you know, collecting my emotions, getting back at it, and then getting the strike out there. So I felt like I was able to do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, Robbie, so many of your starts we've seen recently, you've been in full control and really dominating with your stuff. So when they get you early, how did you feel about how you kind of adapted and adjusted there?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I had to move the fastball around a lot more tonight, you know, because, they weren't swinging at the slider and, you know, mixed in a few changeups, a few curveballs, just try to mix up the game plan a little bit going forward.
And when you say this is a team that lays off your slider, I know that you can't just throw 100% fastballs. How do you adapt to that when they hone in on one pitch like that?
You just kind of have to get your other pitches going. You know, the curveball has to come around, the changeup, you know, have to throw it a little bit more. You just have to adapt and overcome.
Hey, Robbie, just again along those lines, you said it was curious that they laid off your slider. Was that tied to some of the discussion there? Was there a sense that they might have been messaging guys in the box or doing something along those lines?
I'm not going to speak to that. That's not for me. I don't know. You know, that's not something that I know.
Hey, Robbie, just more so on the big picture of the team's run. Obviously, you guys didn't continue the winning streak, but overall, it's been a great start to the month and a great run for you guys. How do you guys just sort of put this one behind you and keep going here and continue this playoff race that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. You know, the game's over. Can't do anything about it. We lost. We come back tomorrow. We get after it, and, you know, we win every pitch. I mean, I've talked about that all year. We go out, and we do our best to win every pitch.
That's Robbie Ray speaking to the media after going 4 1/3. He gave up the 2 home runs and would be knocked out relatively early on, Josh. And clearly he didn't want to talk about it, right? Clearly he didn't really want to get too into it. But I did thought the quote from, and I think Shai Davidi from Sportsnet had put this out on Twitter. And the exact quote was, when he was asked about Brandon Hyde's chirps, he said, "I'm not going to waste my time on someone who doesn't get into the box. I don't have the time of day." And then you mentioned it earlier that Robbie Ray had called it curious that the Orioles laid off his slider when virtually, you know, nobody else lays off the slider, essentially, right? So I just interesting comments from Robbie Ray. Clearly, he does not, is not a huge fan of Brandon Hyde. Clearly not a huge fan of playing in Baltimore, because it's funny, right? You would noted this on Twitter, and certainly the TV broadcast did as well, that the last time he had gone such a short inning, short innings pitched, he had also gone 4 1/3 against Baltimore. So clearly not a fan of playing the Orioles.
Yes, 2 shortest outings of the year have both been against the O's in that ballpark. And he mentions the slider and they're not chasing the slider. And like, you look at the numbers tonight, and I think that backs it up a little bit. His slider wasn't getting the number of chases, I feel like, that it normally gets, which was really puzzling, because it's usually, you know, obviously chalking up a ton of swinging strikes. And like, you look at tonight, and yeah, 7 swinging strikes, a 37% rate, which is still pretty good. But I thought that there were some good sliders that didn't get swung at. And I don't know how to explain that. There's a lot of right-handed hitters in that lineup, and they're capable of leaving the yard or extra base hit type of swings. And we saw that in full display against Robbie Ray tonight. But I don't know what to say other than to just chalk it up to one of those unfortunate things that just seems to happen to Robbie Ray when he pitches against this particular team at this particular ballpark. But he did shove against the Orioles last week, right? On
That's
route
true.
To winning AL Player of the Week. Yeah, yeah. So maybe it's just Camden Yards. Maybe there's just something in the air there with that lineup and Robbie Ray that just doesn't jive.
Yeah, so hey, sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes that happens, and yeah, I'm not going to put too much stock into that. And I don't think very many people who are listening to this are going to suddenly say, "Hey, Robbie Ray stinks now." No one's saying that, right? Because Robbie Ray is still the best pitcher on this team. And it's, I mean, even if you think that Robbie Ray is not always going to be an AL Cy Young candidate, right? I mean, I personally don't see any reason why should he get re-signed by the Blue Jays next season, and I do think that's going to happen for what it's worth, but there's no reason to think that he can't approach this again. Like, certainly he and Marcus Semien are having absolutely phenomenal years. Like, there's no question about it. Whatever their war is, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's 6+ for both of these guys. They have been absolutely unreal. But I mean, like, when it comes to Marcus Semien, is he going to approach breaking the record by second baseman for home runs like every single year? No, of course not. Is Robbie Ray going to be a finalist for the AL Cy Young every single year? Probably not, right? But I still think that, you know, when it comes to re-signing these guys in the near future, just because people are constantly texting about that as well, that's a conversation we can have further on in the offseason. But Robbie Ray, I don't think is going anywhere in the, certainly in the near future, but in the long term as well. Wrap up on the text line here, Josh, as well. I see Brad from Cambridge. He says, I wish the Jays were better at playing small ball, too many swinging and trying for the big homer. Homers are nice, but a simple hit is sometimes more important. I don't disagree. I feel like a couple nights ago we did see some small ball, the idea that the Blue Jays were manufacturing runs, right? But it does sometimes feel like they're swinging out of their shoes a little too much. But hey, I mean, again, the way this lineup is constructed, I'm going to give the hitters the benefit of the doubt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, tonight wasn't great, but they've been swinging it better with runners in scoring position over the last number of games. Like, it was horrible for a while, and then when they went on the run winning 11 of 12, they've been hitting, you know, 265, 270 or so with runners in scoring position, which is perfectly acceptable. It's not lighting the world on fire, but it'll play. And you know, tonight it wasn't great, but I like this stuff about small ball. I don't really know what you're looking for with runners on base. Like, these hitters are who they are. I don't want you choking up and trying to slash one the other way. Stay in what you do, stay in your process, and trust that you're going to be able to get the job done, and you live with the results. I don't want players changing their approach drastically with runners in scoring position, because I don't think that that's necessarily going to lead to anything positive, and more likely it's going to lead to just being uncomfortable in a spot and negative results.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, yeah, the runners in scoring position conversation reared its ugly head tonight, certainly. But again, against the Orioles, again, what was it, 10 hits, I think, on the evening? I'm not super concerned going forward. Last one, Josh, before I let you go for the evening, and you can enjoy a well-deserved Friday night and Saturday night. Bo Bichette had an RBI tonight, and Ben, I think, noted on the broadcast that it was Bo's 85th RBI of the year. And it got me thinking. I was having this conversation via text with Rob Wong a little while ago, and the idea that, and I think Rob was tweeting about it relatively recently, the idea that this may be what we see from Bo Bichette now is the, you know, the quote unquote floor for Bo going forward, right? Like, and I think, again, 85 RBI. The Blue Jays lost the game tonight, so it's not a ton of positives to focus on, but this is one of them. And I do kind of think that maybe if George Springer is injured, and he clearly still is not 100% healthy, maybe Bo should be back in the leadoff spot, at least for the foreseeable future, because he was pretty good over the past couple of games in the leadoff spot. But whether or not that happens, like, do you agree with the idea that maybe what we're seeing from Bo now is could be considered the quote-unquote floor for his career going forward?
I think there might be something to be said for that. Like, I think he's going to continue to get better as an offensive player. I think he sort of is what he is in terms of how he plays the game, aggressive. There's going to be some head-scratching, make-you-want-to-pull-your-hair-out type of at-bats where he just is swinging out of his shoe tops. Maybe he can refine that a little bit, but I think that that's kind of the beauty of the style that he plays. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to score 100 runs a lot, steal 20 bags, you know, maybe drive in 100 runs depending on where he plays, bat 280+. I think this is probably maybe somewhat of a floor, a safe floor. Like, I don't know how high the ceiling is offensively. Like, I don't think he's going to hit 40 home runs or anything like that. But I do think that there is obviously another level. Like, maybe he does become somebody who threatens hitting 300 because his bat to ball skills are good and he can make contact and he can refine things a little bit. But yeah, I think that there is something to be said for that. And he's probably going to put up a 4+ win season. And if that's the floor, that's a pretty damn good ball player.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the question still remains, like, whether or not Bo is the long-term shortstop of the future. But at the same time, I don't see the Blue Jays you know, changing him out of the shortstop position anytime soon. But that's Josh Goldberg, my pal, co-host of this fine program, Jays Talk. Josh will be back on Sunday, but I will continue next with your text, 590-590. We'll wrap up Jays Talk. We'll also hear from Charlie Montoyo. He just finished speaking to the media as well. But Jays Talk continues after this across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Jays Talk, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show Ali with you for a couple of more minutes. Blue Jays lose 6-3 to the Baltimore Orioles in the first of four. And Charlie Montoyo just finished speaking to the media. We'll hear his comments very shortly. But I am seeing some little bits of info trickling out of his press conference. He also saying that Hyunjin Ryu is for sure going to start the first game of the doubleheader, in case you're curious, so he can manage and run out his usual routine, because, you know, we don't entirely know when the start time for game number two will be, of course, because it depends on the seven-inning game that'll go in game one. But there is a chance that Ross Stripling could start game two. Ross Stripling, Josh and I talking about him. So, of course, Stripling missing a decent amount of time with that oblique strain. And, of course, Ben mentioned it on the broadcast earlier tonight that he did get up and throw in the visiting bullpen for the Blue Jays at Camden Yards. So, hey, maybe we will see some Ross Stripling in action. Hopefully we see it. And if you listen to Jays Talk, you'll know we all like to use the term hashtag new Ross, or maybe hashtag new Ross, right? So hopefully we see, maybe we can say new Ross if he does get the start for the Blue Jays in game number two of the doubleheader. But let's hear what the rest of Charlie Montoyo's comments were as the skipper spoke to the media. He just wrapped up his media availability a couple of minutes ago.
Hey, Charlie, coming off the success you've had lately, tonight, was it something the Orioles did or something your team didn't do that led to this?
No, I mean, usually part of the success has been that our stars have been going deep. Mm-hmm. Now today, you know, it was a struggle for Robbie. And again, he did what he does. He kept us in the game. Of course, you know, he had many pitches, and Simber came in and kept us in the game too. So I would say that was it. It starts with starting rotation, and Robbie just didn't go deep enough, you know, into the game. But I give him a lot of credit for keeping us in the game when he didn't have his command, and they did a good job seeing a lot of pitches and getting his pitch count high.
And then in the second inning there, Charlie, when Robbie was on the mound, the back and forth he had when Hyde was yelling out on the field to him, what was your impression of what was happening there and your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't want to comment on that. All I know is my guy kept his composure, stayed focused, and did the job. And that's why, you know, we stay in the game, you know. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Hey, Charlie, I guess maybe not specific to that incident, but in general, like when – you don't often see an opposing manager yell at another team's player quite like that. I'm just wondering for you in that spot, you know, what's your kind of job? Like, what do you see?
I'm not even going to comment on that, because, you know, I know what I would do, and that's what I'm going to leave it at that, honestly. I know Robbie already didn't comment on it. So, again, very proud of Robbie Ray staying focused and at the job at hand, and he gave us a chance after giving up those three runs.
All right. And then just what was your view of how that collision between Abad and Gurriel there? Like, how did you see that play develop, and, you know, your reaction to it?
Honestly, I was looking at the ball for the relay. All of a sudden, I see Gurriel on the ground, so I didn't even see, you know, how it happened. I haven't seen the replay yet, Grichuk did a good job and kept going because, you know, you go at your own risk. And Grichuk did a good job at getting to third base on that play. I can tell you that.
Hey, Charlie. Robbie said that basically the Orioles have been able to sort of grind at bats against him, and they were doing that again today. And he said they seem to lay off his slider quite a lot. Just what are you seeing that they're doing that they can solve, Robbie?
I mean, they did just that, what Robbie said, you know, and they did a good job of that. And that, what that does is got Robbie's pitch count high.
Obviously, today's game didn't go your way, but the big picture is that overall it's been a good stretch for you guys. How do you just sort of like put this one behind you and reset for tomorrow?
Like we always do, like we've done all year, same way. This game is over, ready for a doubleheader tomorrow. For sure, the first game first.
Do you have a starter for tomorrow?
So there's Rio's pitching the first game. And then there's a chance that it could be Ross Stripling. This could be a chance that he might start that game.
There you go. Ross Stripling again, potentially going to start game two of the doubleheader tomorrow, which I find really interesting. Again, Thomas Hatch is with the team, in case you're curious, but we'll see in what manner he is deployed. He could go after Ryu. He could go after Stripling. He could open for Stripling, and we'll see Stripling after that. We've seen that happen a couple times this past season. So who knows what will happen, but Ryu and Stripling and Hatch figure to, I guess, figure largely into the Blue Jays pitching rotation plans for tomorrow's doubleheader. But before we make way for CBS Sports Radio, I wanted to play this little clip for you. Sportsnet TV grabbed this from the Orioles broadcast. It's Brandon Hyde speaking to the media, and he had a little bit of a contrite tone. Let's hear what Brandon Hyde had to say.
I understand that there was some of my language was picked up on a mic by our dugout, and I just wanted to apologize to all the fans out there, the Blue Jays, Robbie Ray, Charlie Montoyo. It was in a little bit of a heat of the moment. I felt like our team was being accused of something that wasn't happening. We had a lively dugout tonight, and but my language is no excuse for that. So I wanted just to apologize and recognize that that was unprofessional on my part.
Brandon, is there anything specific you can tell us about the accusation, and were you kind of surprised by Ray's reaction to the dugout?
Yeah, I was surprised, and that's why it caught me off guard, to be honest with you, and that's kind of why I reacted the way I did, just kind of sticking up for our guys. We do things the right way here. We don't we play the game the right way, and we do things the right way in the dugout. So to I felt like our guys were being targeted a little bit, and I wish I would have handled it a little differently than I did.
Brandon, not to belabor, but I mean, it did, the microphone picked up a little bit about somebody telling somebody else to shut up, and then you kind of went at Ray back and forth there. What happened to kind of set that off? Were the Blue Jays accusing you guys of celebrating too much or chirping too much as you guys were getting to them?
I don't want to get into, you know, what made us react the way we did, but I could have reacted differently, and I could use different language. And for the mic to pick that up, I'm embarrassed by that.
It does kind of sound, that's Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager. It does kind of sound like he's kind of apologizing for being caught rather than actually anything that actually happened. But at the same time, hey, maybe we'll never know, because clearly Charlie Montoyo, we played that audio, he didn't want to talk about it. Robbie Ray didn't want to talk about it, and Brandon Hyde didn't want to talk about it, right? So whatever was the accusation was made, I guess perhaps we won't know until after the season, but I guess, the Orioles won tonight, so you can't criticize them too much, but at the same time, I did think it was kind of like darkly funny that he did say we play the game the right way. The Orioles are the worst team in Major League Baseball. They don't do everything the right way. Anyways, Blue Jays lose 6-3 in the first game. A 4 doubleheader going tomorrow. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Link. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. Always good stuff chatting with you all. Thank you for texting at 590-590. I'll be back for the ball game tomorrow. MLB.com's Keegan Matheson will join me as a guest tomorrow in the in-between edition of the Jays Talk between games 1 and 2 of the doubleheader. But again, Jays lose 6-3. Doubleheader tomorrow. Ryu will start game 1. For Tom, Ben, Josh, Kyle, I'm Sho. Thank you for listening as always. And again, we'll have more Jays Talk tomorrow afternoon.